Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America. Happy Sunday. I hope you got your brunch, you got your coffee, you got your fruit salad. You're eating healthy on a Sunday morning. Maybe throw a little eggs in there because that's what I do. I like eggs. We've got a great show for you today. Get a load of this. We're going to kick it off with a man who just survived impeachment. No, not Joe Biden. No, not Donald Trump. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. He came back stronger than ever after the Texas Senate acquitted him on what looked to be a drive-by impeachment by the Texas House. Ken Paxton going to be here. He's going to talk about the border, the big antitrust case against Google. This could be one of the epic landmark cases in American history in the big tech sector in the last 30 years, up there with the Microsoft trial in the 90s and the breakup of Bob Bell in the 70s and 80s. Ken Paxton going to be in the House for the top of the show. Then we're going to have Congressman Glenn Grothman. He is doing such amazing work on the border. Also has some very provocative things to say about woke campuses, anti-Semitism and hatred and intolerance and how to deal with it. I think you're going to like his ideas. We're going to have him in the second block. Ken Cuccinelli, former Attorney General of Virginia, former senior Homeland Security official. He's going to join us in the third block. He's got a lot to say about the border and some of the solutions that are now emerging and whether Republicans in the House can get a deal with Joe Biden in January. We'll see. Waleed Faris, another great national security mind. He'll join us in the fourth block. And then my good friend, my fellow co-author, he's got a brand new book out called Controligarchs. That's right. How the big tech oligarchs are trying to control every aspect of American life. My good friend, Seamus Bruner, will kick us into the Sunday sunset. He's always a great guest, a brilliant researcher, brilliant journalist, brilliant man, good friend, great writer, great author. Get his book, Controligarchs. You'll certainly want to get it after you hear him in the last block. That is our show today, and I can't thank all of those guests for making themselves available on a Sunday to us. It's what a great deal. Now, before we go to commercial break, you know healthy eating is a part of the healthy lifestyle that I kicked in 2023. I made that New Year's resolution, and 11 months in, I'm still on the program. And I've had lots of help, right? You guys know I have Field of Greens. That's been a big help. You know, I take the Super Beats Heart Chews, which I talked to you about yesterday. Another one of the components of my healthy lifestyle is a quick and easy, healthy, dietitian-approved, chef-prepared meal that I can cook in 2 minutes. It's not frozen. It's refrigerated. It's fresh. My friends at Factor Meals are creating some of the best, most delicious and most healthy food. And guess what? It only takes 2 minutes in the microwave to get this fiesta going. The food is really good. If I took it off of the tray and I put it on a fancy plate and took it over to the restaurant, you'd swear the chef cooked it in the back. That's how good these are. 2 minutes. When you're busy like I am and you want to eat healthy, but you don't want the prepping, the chopping, the cleaning, or the shopping, I get you a really good deal. My friends at Factor Meals have it done. So go to factormeals.com/justnews50. Now, I put the number 50 in there, justnews50, for a reason. Because if you go to that link, you're going to get 50% off your first order. That's a great deal. So go to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the promo code justnews50. Half off. You don't get anything half off in the Biden economy. This is a great deal. Healthy foods, good foods, chef prepared, dietitian approved, 2 minutes so you can do them on the go and still feel like you are eating healthy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You got all sorts of things. And like I said, chef prepared, dietitian approved. 2 minutes? That's a deal. And 50% off, that's even a better deal. So go do it. You'll eat well, save time, and be healthier. That's a great deal, right? Head to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the promo code justnews50 to get 50% off. That is a great, great opportunity. Thanks to my good friends for supporting us at factormeals.com. Go there today, justnews50, 50% off. You'll be healthy, you'll be fuller, you'll be satisfied. Great meals. All right, you're going to be satisfied in a few minutes. You know why? The Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, some of the most important lawsuits in the land are running through his state right now, through his office. We'll have him at the top of the show right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Hey folks, have you heard of cancer fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm sure you've seen some of those reports that former President Donald Trump could be heading down to Texas on Sunday to serve some pre-Thanksgiving tamales to service members and public safety officers with Governor Greg Abbott. But before that stir in the headlines, just last week, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton submitted President Trump's official candidate paperwork, helping him become the first president to file in that state Republican primary. And luckily for us, the Attorney General himself joins John in studio right now. General Paxton, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. It's a pleasure to have you back, sir. It's been too long.
It has been too long. I'm glad to be back and glad to be back in studio with John.
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to get over to D.C. to join you guys. But first, I want to address the obvious. Obviously, in the state of Texas, illegal immigration is a huge issue. And tying that in with the topic of President Trump filing his paperwork, that obviously was a huge point of his campaign in 2016, 2020. And I think that as things ramp up even more, especially as you see in states like New York, resources being drawn away from education and law enforcement because of illegal immigration. Do you imagine that that's going to be a huge sticking point for Texans going into next November?
Look, there's no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, I was honored to help file the paperwork for President's run in Texas. But if you'll remember, before Biden came into office, we were in the best shape we've been in my lifetime that I can remember, with President Trump pushing to build the border wall, with him putting the Remain in Mexico place in place. Him using Title 42 and using all the resources of federal law to prevent illegal immigration. And as soon as Biden came in day one, he announced that we would not be deporting anybody. And we've been in the middle of litigation with him ever since, as he's dismantled every good thing that the President Trump did when he was in office.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And every state feels that impact of the border now, fentanyl, everything that just is hitting us north to south, east to west. There isn't a place you can travel. So you've done a lot in the courts. And one of the big cases that I think a lot of people in Washington are watching is the antitrust lawsuit against Google. It is now back in the great state of Texas. That's a win for the American people. Tell us what's next in that case. That's one of the more historic cases of antitrust law, I think, in our lifetime.
Yeah, so we are fortunate. We had our case moved to New York, which was not our choice. It was related to this law related to multi-district litigation. Congress passed laws giving attorney generals the authority to pull that stuff back. So now we've got it back in Texas where we filed it originally, and which means that the case is going to move a lot faster, we hope, and hold Google accountable for basically controlling the advertising market on the internet. They control about 97% of it. They crush their competition in all kinds of ways, either by buying them up or doing things that we would consider illegal. And we want to make sure that that is destructured the way it is now, so that there is competition, that consumers have choices, they're not paying too much, and that businesses have choices, and they're not being put out of business by Google, which is happening, obviously, with all types of different businesses. So we're trying to free the American public so that they have a choice when it comes to the internet on how they advertise.
That's great. Big stuff.
Sir, you are a legal eagle, and it feels like every time we have you on, there is a new victory for us to address. And speaking of that, this most recent one against porn companies, who I guess fundamentally their stance was that 10-year-olds on the internet should have access to porn. Nevertheless, you won in that case so that there is age verification for porn websites. Can you talk to us about this? And is this it? Is it squashed? Is it done?
Yeah, well, the Fifth Circuit has made their decision. My job is to defend state law, and this was something the legislature viewed as very important. I think it was overwhelmingly passed in both houses. It was signed by the governor. And then no matter what type of state legislation is passed, it's my job to go to defend it. The Fifth Circuit fortunately agreed with this, and we've got a victory for the legislature and the people of Texas.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Another big victory. You defeated your critics in the impeachment trial. And now there is a whole new slate of candidates that are popping up in Connecticut, in Texas, under your amazing brand. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there. It seems like this is a revolution in a Lone Star State.
You know, it's been too long in Texas where the Texas House actually answered to the voters. It's been probably over a decade that we really have had control of the legislature, because the way it works in Texas, there's 150 House members. And so you need 76 votes to be speaker. And instead of doing what they do in Washington, which is the Republicans decide without the Democrats block vote, 65 votes. And then whatever Republican will give them the most, they vote for. And typically that Republican gets elected. So our speaker has been controlled by the Democrats, and he's continued to be controlled by the Democrats. He does everything he can to help them. And so we are fortunate that we have so many people that have been motivated by what happened this last session, where they didn't pass border secure, where they didn't pass school choice, where they didn't do as much on property taxes reductions as they should have. And then they impeached me in the last couple of days of session without any notice, without any involvement, without any transparency. And I think the voters are upset about this, and people are running all over Texas to defeat some of these House members that have supported Dade Phelan. And by the way, he's got several opponents, and I think there's a very good chance that we're going to win these elections, a lot of them.
Wow. And
especially the one against the Speaker.
That'll be an earthquake, political earthquake.
Well, and I think the voters of Texas have a right to be upset over this utter failure of an impeachment attempt. And I think that they have a right to know to what dollar amount that it was a failure. Why won't the Texas House release how much it cost to go through that impeachment?
So you hit on a very key point. They try to keep things secret. They did the whole impeachment as much as they could. Behind closed doors, no transparency, didn't want the public to know what they were doing. They were hoping that they would just overwhelm me because they have all these resources and I didn't have any, and I would be out of office with no lawyers, and the media, of course, coming after me, you know, every single day. So they clearly like to do things without transparency. And in this case, now they've been requested to turn over information about how much they spent on the impeachment, and the Senate's disclosed theirs. We've disclosed the cost of that in our office. And the House continues to refuse to disclose that information. So the speakers should be accountable for this. And I hope that the voters will hold the House members that are running accountable for not disclosing the cost. And they could easily do it. They just continue to refuse to turn that information over.
Yeah, It's just extraordinary. A lot of people in this country worry about election integrity as we head into a momentous 2024 election. You have your eye on so many different things. You brought some important cases. What's the state of election integrity in Texas, and what can the rest of the country learn from what Texas has already done?
Look, we had very much success in the last presidential. We stopped the things that were going on, like in Georgia and with Thompson and Pennsylvania and Arizona, right, by challenging this idea that you could just send out mail-in ballots everywhere in violation of state law. And we had 12 lawsuits in very liberal counties with very liberal judges, with very liberal courts of appeal, and we fought tooth and nail. We had to win 12 lawsuits, or we would have been counting votes in Harris County or Travis County, some of our hair, which is Houston and Austin. We would have been counting votes just like Georgia, and President Trump probably would not have won Texas. And so we stopped it. Now there's been an effort by the Court of Criminal Appeals, which is 9-0 Republican, but nobody really knows who they are. They are the top court in Texas for criminal matters. Unlike most states, we have two separate court systems, one for civil and one for criminal. And the Court of Criminal Appeals struck down a statute from 1951, which has thousands of cases of precedent, and said that it was unconstitutional for the attorney general to go into court because it's a violation of separation of powers. If they're correct about that, I wouldn't be allowed to go to a court for anything.
Wow.
And by doing that, now I can't represent the state prosecuting voter fraud, and therefore the local DAs who have been elected by, a lot of these local DAs in the big cities have been elected by George Soros, are not going to prosecute voter fraud, which leaves us exposed for every election going forward. So we are running three people against the current Court of Criminal Appeals, trying to unseat them so that we can retain power over our elections.
Wow, that's so important. Extraordinary.
Yeah, and sir, I know in Texas you are fighting very hard for election integrity, but in 2020 we saw election problems all across the country. You were one of those state's attorneys general who was leading the charge in trying to get to the bottom of some of those problems. For some of those states that were revealed to have a lot of election integrity issues, and again, I know that Texas is under your purview and not these other states, but how confident are you that these other states with their Republicans, attorney general or Democrat, have fixed things?
Look, I'm very concerned. I know that some of them have tried. I don't know if they've done enough. I'm trying to work on fixing our problem, which could cause the same result in upcoming elections. So sure. I am concerned. I've talked to people, grassroots people in Georgia and Pennsylvania who are working on that. But if they don't stop this mail-in ballot scheme where they can send them out to everybody and you have no idea who's returning them, and then the other side says, well, you can't prove voter fraud. You're right. We can't prove it. If you don't follow the law and how they're sent out where you can verify who's voting, then they can argue that we can't prove it. And they're right. So we have to protect the vote by protecting the ballots before they go out, so we know exactly who's voting, or we lose control of these elections and we'll never know who voted, and we'll never know who committed fraud.
Yeah. That's just not an acceptable outcome, no doubt. So I want to ask about one last question. There is a move across this great country in Congress and with Texas leading the way, as it often does, to create state law that would allow state authorities to arrest illegal immigrants coming into the country when the federal government doesn't do its job. What's going to happen in Texas now that this bill is about to be signed?
Look, I'm really excited about this. This is something we've asked the legislature for several years, and I'm grateful that they got it done. The Senate's been more open to this. Finally, the House, under a lot of pressure, has passed it, and it's a very good bill. It allows our state to arrest people coming across illegally. This is obviously something that we've considered as it relates to this case that was decided under Obama, which is called U.S. v. Arizona, right, where Arizona tried to protect themselves, and the court came down, Supreme Court came down and said they couldn't do it. That law, that case cannot be right, and so we need the ability to prosecute these people as they come across the border.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got another good one. Congressman Glenn Grossman, I think one of the more thoughtful members in Congress, doing really big investigative oversight, big solutions. He's the one who discovered those 85,000 missing children, right? And we let these children into the country unaccompanied without their parents, and we lost track of them. That was Glenn Grossman that figured that. Now he's got another area he's working on, wokeness and intolerance and hatred on college campuses that rear their ugly head, particularly with anti-Semitism the last few weeks. He's got a big solution right after these messages. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon, Just the News family. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Well, joining us right now is a lawmaker who has been on the front lines of illuminating for the American people what's really been going on at the border, what's also been really going on in college campuses and in government agencies to spread so much hatred across this country, Congressman Glenn Grothman from the great state of Wisconsin. Mr. Chairman, good to have you back on the show.
Glad to be on the show. And you're right. One more time, we find things going on college campuses you wouldn't find going on anywhere else in America, right? Yeah. No local government building, certainly no private business, but the most outspoken anti-Israel, pro-Hamas people in this country all seem to be connected to the education field, which is maybe one of the reasons why so many of our young people are tilting to the left.
There's no doubt. And I know you've done a lot of thinking about this. We've had a chance to talk about this a few times. At some point, it seems like the tenure system in college is going to have to be looked at so that faculty can be held accountable for doing the sort of things that have led to this. Do you think there's starting to be some bipartisan support to maybe take a look at faculty and lifelong tenure?
I'm not sure. I think the thing we have to look at is we have to publicize how bad these universities are. I've suggested to people on the Israel thing and on the anti-Semitic thing, groups ought to come out and rank the universities A, B, C, D, E, and, you know, say, if you have a Jewish child, would you want them to go to this university? What university would want to be labeled F for Jewish children? But I think some groups have to get out there and do it and embarrass these universities into action so they put these people down. And I think other groups ought to just plain rank the universities, you know, as far as respect for free speech or respect for conservative ideals. But there's no question that the most embarrassing positions coming out since Israel was attacked are coming next to or near college campuses.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And it's amazing to see the cultural shift, because it used to be embarrassing. It used to be an opinion that was shamed. But I wanted to ask you about this incredible testimony by Kenneth Marcus of the Brandeis Center, because he was drawing a connection between DEI initiatives, diversity initiatives on campuses, even in companies, and the connection to anti-Semitism. Can you kind of share for our audience what he said? Because I don't know if a lot of people draw that connection naturally.
No, there's no question about it. The same type of people who push the DEI are the same type of people who push anti-Semitism, because it's both coming from the left. They both want to destroy the values of our country. They want to destroy the United States and Israel at the same time. So it's not surprising that you find this cross-pollination. The same people who are anti-Israel are pro-DEI.
Yeah, amazing. Sir, you have been such an important voice on the border. Nearly 300,000 people, when you take gotaways, crossed last month. We just don't know who's coming across here. The testimony of the FBI director and others, very, very alarming. What do you fear is going on behind the scenes?
I'm sure people are coming across the border, and why wouldn't they? Joe Biden advertised, even before he won the election, he advertised that, you know, we're going to try to let as many more people here as possible. And so this shouldn't come as a surprise. Right. I think you're soon going to see a big fight over the Ukraine bill, and it's important the public familiarize themselves as far as what is going on.
Yeah.
So because we're going to need the public support to win that fight, because I think the Republicans are ready to say no more money for Ukraine, no more money to stop the invading Russians unless we stop the invading people at our southern border. I hope my colleagues are on all board with this.
Yeah, I think that's the deal the American public's ready to make. Yeah.
I mean, at our southern border, we're not just letting poison in the form of fentanyl. It's poisonous ideology. And regarding that testimony of FBI Director Wray, I found it interesting because he was almost flexing about the 50-something counterterrorism groups that are trying to address these issues of possible Hamas terrorists or Islamic terrorists coming across our southern border. But I have to think to myself that in the past, you know, we've seen the leaked memos of the FBI asserting the notion that, for instance, traditional Catholics are, you know, right-wing terrorists and parents on school boards who raise questions about what's being taught to their children. And it seems to me that there's a great amount of effort being drawn away from actual terrorism and pointed in the direction of just people in America.
Bringing up another issue. Right now we're going into budget time. There are negotiations between the Republican held House and the Democrat held Senate. And one of the things we're going to fight over is the FBI. Is the FBI going to pay a price for scaring, justifiably so, law-abiding Americans, religious Americans, or are we going to give them a big building and a big expansion in funding? You know, they have got to pay a price or make it, they have to feel it in their pocketbook if they're going to stop this going after regular Americans.
Yeah. So I know you got to go. Just one last question. There was an incredible report put out by Congress, $451 billion a year being spent because of illegal immigration and illegal immigrants on our soil led in by Joe Biden. That's a staggering number. Has it had some impact on lawmakers?
I would hope so, and I hope it has an impact on the public, because ultimately the lawmakers react to what's going on out there. Yeah. And, you know, the Republicans, I think, did not do as well as they should in the last two elections because they didn't make a big deal enough about what happened in the border. Donald Trump himself would have got reelected if he talked as much about the border in his second race as he did in the first race. So that's why I try to get on your show and talk about it. I try to go on the southern border and talk about it. But the American public has to know, dollar-wise and even more idea-wise, what happens with unlimited people coming here. Before, we talked about anti-Semitism in America. A lot of that anti-Semitism is being driven by people coming here from other countries who are anti-Semitic. Well, what do you expect if you let everybody under the sun come here?
That is such a good point, sir. From the vulnerable children that our government lost track of to the terror threats that are coming across our border, you have been such an important voice. We are so grateful for your tireless work trying to protect this country. It's great to have you on. I know you got to run, but thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Wow, what a great interview with Congressman Glenn Grothman. We got another one right around the corner. Guess what? Ken Cuccinelli, former Virginia Attorney General, former senior official at the Homeland Security Department, one of the great border experts in the country. We'll go down to the southern border with some real clarity, just like we did with Ken Paxton at the top of the show. You're going to love it. Ken Cuccinelli, right after these messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's a former attorney general of my home state of Virginia, and has continued his honorable service in the last administration for President Trump as acting deputy secretary for the Department of Homeland Security. And he joins us right now. Ken, great to have you on, sir.
John, Amanda, good to be with you both.
When I saw this report in the last 24 hours, this extraordinary total, $450+ billion a year in toll to the American taxpayers because of what Joe Biden's done at the border, it doesn't surprise anyone who has followed your work. You have been warning about this for so long. How did we get to this point?
Yeah, and for a fraction of this money, we could stop it.
That's right.
But it requires political will. We got to this point because Joe Biden ran on an open borders policy, and he has implemented an open borders policy. And Amanda, I think you mentioned, this isn't just an immigration issue, it's also a national security issue, emphasized by Bibi Netanyahu recently. And terrorists can walk in, Chinese spies can walk in, MS-13 members can walk in, anybody can walk into the United States thanks to Joe Biden and Secretary Mayorkas. And this is something that can be stopped. I think the way to stop it has been proposed by Governor DeSantis, and that's put the military on the border. Even as we were building wall in the last administration, people were still coming through. Until you completely seal that border, and we can do it for a heck of a lot less than $450 billion a year, we're going to continue to suffer from these threats.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that Republicans at the beginning of Joe Biden's term were trying to decide between a carrot and a stick mode of operating with him, especially with respect to the border. But it seems like we are at the place where there's got to be some sense of urgency, and there's got to be some sense of punishment for people who don't do their jobs, particularly Secretary Mayorkas. I think that this is probably the most low-hanging fruit as far as impeachment proceedings in the House. But you had eight Republicans who voted with Democrats to not make this happen. What is the reason?
Yeah. So first of all, looking ahead a little bit, if you can't move forward on an impeachment of Mayorkas, forget about impeaching Biden. That's one message. But Mayorkas has lied to Congress so many times. He is intentionally. I mean, it isn't to say he's failed to do his job. He views his job as keeping the border open, not closed. And that is not the legal definition of a secure border. And he keeps lying about that to Congress. I don't know how many lies it takes for congressmen and women to vote to impeach him and to remove him from his office, with the goal being that even though Joe Biden is president, that the message would be sent, you need to send somebody here who will actually try to secure our border instead of opening it to every terrorist, spy organization, and illegal invader that wants to come to America.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. There's another extraordinary conversation going on, and I think it's one that's catching fire. In Congress, there are a larger number of Republicans now saying it's time to empower states to enforce federal immigration law when the federal government won't do it. You tried this in Virginia. There was some efforts in Prince William County, others. It had some success. What do you think about that? And is it extraordinary that we have to ask the states to do the federal government's job?
It is extraordinary, but the states have been left with some power to do this. We saw this with Governor DeSantis taking people to Martha's Vineyard, Governor Abbott busing illegals, not so much to secure the border with those efforts as to raise the awareness. And then this year, finally, after years of some of us candidly nagging Governor Abbott to do it, they have started to secure the border themselves. States have the authority to do this under Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. When a state is invaded, they can repel that invasion, and they don't need anybody's permission to do it. Greg Abbott resisted doing this for a long time, even though other governors like Noem and DeSantis and others offered troops, money, and assets to do it. And now Texas is finally fighting with the Biden administration, actually, to close their border across Mexico. States can do this. It is entirely reasonable when they do for the federal government to reimburse them for that effort. It is expensive by state budget standards, not by federal budget standards. So this is heartening to finally see.
Yeah, all ideas you've been advocating for a long time.
long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Ken, we have just rounded off fiscal year 2023, and we hit another record, 169 individuals encountered at the border who are on the terror watch list. That was a new record from 98 the previous year, and more than the previous 6 years, fiscal years combined. As you see folks like FBI Director Christopher Wray up on Capitol Hill talking about how the terror threat is something that we haven't seen since ISIS, and we know the thousands and thousands of illegal, special interest illegal aliens coming across our border. Joe Biden's got a year left to squeeze out without a terror attack. Do you think he makes it out without one?
Perhaps. I mean, let's look at Hamas. They got control of Gaza in 2007, and they built and prepared for 16 years. These are folks who have a very long view. They do not have the American view of I want it yesterday. They are very strategic. They're evil, but they're not stupid. And that open border is an open invitation to terrorists to come in here, both who will act themselves, who will recruit others, who will facilitate others to carry out acts of terrorism, and to grow communities where terrorism flourishes within the United States. All of those things are happening under Joe Biden with an open border. It has to be closed. It'll take years to get wall. We need the military to close it right now. Joe Biden is not going to do that. That isn't really going to happen until we get a president who's committed to using the military at the border. Obviously, that will not be Joe Biden. And it won't be until January of 2025. I don't know. It is hard to predict, Amanda, whether there'll be an attack between now and then, but it is mathematically, it seems near certain to me that we will suffer terrorist attacks, plural, because of the people that Joe Biden and Secretary Mayorkas have led into this country. And then I wonder how those eight Republicans who voted against impeaching Mayorkas are going to feel when we trace back terror attacks. It's apparently murder and rape and pillaging across our own country. Mere crime isn't enough to get them upset with Mayorkas intentionally opening our border, but perhaps terrorism will do it. Who knows?
Yeah, it's sad that it has to come to that point to do the basics of security in this country, but it seems to be that way. I want to turn for a second to an issue that I think is ancillarily related, and I think a lot of people look at it and say, what's going on? The United Nations could not condemn the attack on Hamas. It could not get enough votes to condemn the attack on Hamas, though it condemns the United States and Israel regularly. Have we gotten to the point where enough people in this country say, why are we funding this organization? Let's pull that funding. Do you think Republicans are growing that? Maybe some Democrats now, too?
Yes, I think we are. When you can't condemn terrorism, that's not a it's one thing if some recalcitrant left winger on the street doesn't want to condemn terrorist attacks. Right. It's quite another if a governmental organization that's supposed to facilitate peace won't condemn terrorism. I think it's time to cut the U.S. funding to the United Nations. Again, this is something Governor DeSantis has also echoed, ironically, with one of his competitors having argued for U.N. funding when she was there as an ambassador. But I think the U.S., the people of the United States are beyond sick of the United Nations. Iran is judging human rights at the U.N., condemn terrorism. How much more do we need? I think we could. That's an easy budget cut.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Ken, I want to round off the conversation with a different form of terrorism that also involves the border, fentanyl. We've got President Biden heading to my state here, San Francisco, to meet with President Xi. Do you expect him to apply any type of aggressive pressure on China as far as the production and export of chemicals that contribute to fentanyl and the chemical poisoning of Americans through the southern border?
I do not. Joe Biden doesn't have it in him to be aggressive with Xi. And you know, you can speculate as to the reasons, but certainly that would be a radical change from his first 3 years in office. And I don't see that happening. Although congratulations, you finally have a clean city for once.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Wish we could keep Xi here.
I think some San Franciscans are going to ask the president to stay.
You need a communist tyrant to come get your city cleaned up. That should tell us something about San Francisco.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. Wadleed Ferris, I think he's one of the great security minds in the country, and he's going to bring a very powerful story. A woman is accompanying him with an incredible story of America not doing enough to help a fellow American. You're going to be touched by this story. Waleed Faris, right after the commercial break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, everybody. There have been a few international stories that I think I want to use to anchor this conversation. The first took place just yesterday as a Finnish appeals court dismissed hate speech charges against a politician for tweeting Bible verses. And the second, over in the Middle East, as the IDF enters Gaza's largest hospital to deliver humanitarian equipment. Now, our next two guests are two Middle East experts specifically regarding Iran. Dr. Waleed Faris is the author of the book Iran and a National Security Advisor. And Giselle Sharmad is a German-American activist in opposition to the Iranian regime. And it makes sense, as her father was captured more than 3 years ago and is still being held hostage. Dr. Faris and Giselle, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Giselle, I want to go to you first. First of all, welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you. People might not know the story about your father. Can you just kind of give everybody a rundown of what happened with him, what is continuing to happen?
Yes, of course. 16 years ago, my dad developed a website where he was critical of the regime and gave the people of Iran an outlet to let us know all the human rights violations that are taking place there. Well, the regime came to America on U.S. soil and tried to assassinate him here. And when they were not successful, they kidnapped him on a business flight overlay in Dubai 3 years ago, and they're holding him hostage there for more than 1,200 days now. So we have released some of the hostages in a horrible deal a month ago, but my dad and some others were left behind. And now we're giving more money to the regime, still leaving hostages behind.
Yeah, it is stunning. Your father's plight and the lack of action on it by the United States government is so frustrating. Dr. Faris, I want to ask you a quick question, because I think a lot of people see what's happening in Israel and Hamas, and they see it in a vacuum. But this is a proxy war with Iran, and there's overwhelming evidence. We know in America that Iran is funding all of this violence against Israel and the United States, and yet we just keep finding ways to give them money. $10 billion yesterday, $6 billion a couple of weeks ago, and of course all the oil sales that we just looked the other way on. Why do we arm and get money to a regime that has nothing but death in its mind for us?
One word is crazy. What this administration is doing, what the previous administration of the Obama administration did, was not just a deal. It was a transaction. We will be sending $150 billion total, with those smaller size, $8 billion, and then now 6 and 10 coming. Why is the Biden administration insisting relentlessly on sending that money that Giselle was talking about? Because it's a transaction. Because part of that money, like in any brokerage, is going to come back. It's going to come back to financial interest. It's going to come back to people who worked on the deal. It's like a real estate. You know, you get 10%, 5% of the deal that you have established. And what does that money mean in Iran? Going to help the Iranian people? No. This is a deal that would arm Iran. We are arming Iran. They are buying ballistic missiles, counter missiles, planes, tanks, and most importantly, funding these organizations, Hezbollah, Houthis. And who did the biggest massacre, Hamas, weeks ago? Hamas. So the money that has been given to these organizations is terrible. The money that we're giving to Iran, they're buying the weapons. And if you allow me, both of you, to add one more thing. There is money now being given to the organizer of these protests, which are in fact really Hamas and jihadi protests at the end of the day.
Unthinkable.
Yeah. Dr. Ferris, I want to stay with you on this specifically because, you know, we were just talking with Victoria Coates about this conflict, and militarily, Israel is obviously the much stronger party. Unfortunately, what we are seeing here in the United States, pro-Palestinian factions winning the messaging war, it seems like, on some fronts. Obviously, we had this march yesterday in Washington, D.C., which was wonderful to see all of these voices, all of these bodies unified for Israel. But I think that there's got to be a sea change in the messaging war because the pro-Palestinian side is really, really doing a good job of inculcating America.
Oh, absolutely. We spoke about it years and years ago. The network that is mobilizing these protests, very large, very sophisticated. They have a huge web of support in the media. They have their own media in all the languages. We are really dealing with a very serious networking. But for the audience, I say these networks are the same ones who protested Guantanamo, the same ones who protested, you know, the events in France. This is one network organized by the Muslim Brotherhood and the pro-Iran regime propaganda machine. So it does not surprise me. What surprised me is the fact that Americans were not given the truth, that academia and part of media have become part of the support system for this ideology. And this is why I consider we are at a level of danger we haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's so true. Our universities have become the propaganda arm for our enemies. It's just remarkable. Giselle, when a WNBA player was arrested in Russia because she had some drug paraphernalia with her, there was a nonstop media outcry, constant coverage until the president. But Giselle, I went back today and did a Google search. I hardly see any media coverage of your dad. Tell us about your dad, what you want the American public to know, and also tell us what, if any, assistance the American government has given you and your family.
Thank you for that. I've been trying to break through the media for 3.5 years, and that is part of the money that Dr. Ferris was just saying is coming back, is influencing this media and telling them not to talk to people like me, not to talk about hostages like my dad who were fighting these terrorist regimes. Rather, we make it into a show and a publicity stunt, and we cherry pick hostages that we like and that are great. The NBA player came back, but Paul Wieland, who was there before her, is still there. So that's constantly right. We're leaving hostages behind and picking the ones that are great for a publicity stunt, great for the administration. And it breaks my heart because everybody deserves to come back. And we don't see that. My dad has spent 16 years of his life here in America to be the voice of the people of Iran, who are right now in the middle of a revolution. They have been on the streets since last year, September, fighting the terrorists. Those are people that fight those terrorists. Yeah. And I didn't see the people that are on the streets right now in these Hamas rallies. Where were they when the people of Iran were on the streets? Where were they in our support? Where were they when thousands and thousands of people in Syria were butchered? They were not there.
Powerful.
Giselle, just 20 seconds before we go. If President Trump was still in office, do you think that your father would be home with you?
It's hard to say, but I have seen that hostages have come back under different administrations without further giving the regime so much power and sanctions relief and all of the horrible things that we're doing right now.
All right, folks, one more good one left. One of my favorites, my good friend, my co-author, my fellow great investigative journalist, Seamus Bruner. He's got a brand new book out, Control Oligarchs. Oh, I like that name. And you know what it means? It means the big tech oligarchs are trying to control your life. And he explains it. He breaks it down. It's an amazing book. The Bill Gates and the Mark Zuckerbergs and all those guys. Seamus Bruner is going to explain the connection between control, your loss of freedom, and big tech in the next book. It's a must listen. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. In the weeks and months to come, we are going to see some Biden family members and associates testifying in front of the House Oversight Committee. I believe Rob Walker is one of the ones who's already on the book for them. And just yesterday, Hunter Biden asked a judge to subpoena Donald Trump and ex-Justice Department officials in his gun case. I want to talk about all of that and more with our next guest. He's Seamus Brenner. He is the director of research at the Government Accountability Institute, and he just published a fantastic, albeit scary, new book that you can buy out today called Control Oligarchs, Exposing the Billionaire Class, Their Secret Deals, and the Globalist Plot to Dominate Your Life. Seamus, it's been a long time. I saw something a few days ago splash across about this book, and I saw your name there, and I thought this is fantastic because I really want to dig in on him. As if I need any more reason to be scared about big tech, big brother, and everything wrapped up into the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab, can you please just give us a rundown about this book and how depressed and terrified we're going to be when we get done reading it?
Oh, Amanda, thank you. That's a great intro. It's good to be with you. Yeah, so this book, Control Oligarchs, is really about following the money all the way to the top, to places like Davos, to Silicon Valley, to Wall Street. And it's showing that the billionaires of today are not like the billionaires of yesteryear, like the Carnegies and the Vanderbilts. These billionaires, men like Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, they want to control every aspect of your life, whether it's the food you eat or the way you consume energy, what kind of car you can drive, whether you can have a gas-powered stove, and then also your finances. They want to control and track and trace every transaction with a digital ID and a central bank digital currency. I thought it was conspiracy theories. Turns out it's not.
Yeah, well, it's in your case, it's just amazing reporting because this book is so thoroughly reported. There's a favorite character of mine in this book. I have some fond memories of covering some of the Microsoft trials back in the 1990s as an AP reporter. Bill Gates shows up, and there are two things that I have been fascinated watching, and you've done more than anyone to chronicle it. His effort to focus on farmland and food and water rights. The guy's buying up by the billions the sort of things that basically give him some control over the food and water supplies, right?
Yeah, that's right, John. And you'll remember from the Microsoft antitrust trials, there was this strategy that Microsoft employed. It came out as part of that suit. It's called Embrace, Extend, Extinguish, where Microsoft would enter an industry, they would embrace the current standards, then they would extend their influence in that industry, and eventually they would extinguish the competition. Well, that's what Bill Gates is doing in the food sector. He moves into farming, acts like nothing, you know, he's not going to upend any apple carts. And then he, you know, extends his reach throughout the farming and agricultural space and eventually wants to extinguish the competition. You see this with the Dutch farmers protesting. They're protesting because there's these new restrictions on fertilizer. Guess what? Bill Gates owns the new patented fertilizers. He's doing it in, you know, when he buys up the farmlands, he's making it so that they're all quote unquote sustainable. And guess what? Those family owned farms that have been around for generations, those aren't sustainable, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. And this phrase that we continue to hear, especially with respect to the World Economic Forum, you will own nothing and be happy. For freedom loving individuals like the three of us, I think that that is just such a foreign concept. But there are younger Americans who actually are okay with that type of future. And that's by design, because you have folks like Mark Zuckerberg who are pouring money into societal changes, algorithms on social media that literally re-engineer the way you think about things. Talk to us about that aspect of all this.
Right. These tech guys, I mean, they're very familiar with the subscription-based model. They want to make your life subscription-based. You see, you know, more and more things are requiring a $10 or $15 a month fee. And so with Zuckerberg, I mean, the metaverse and his virtual reality ambitions, he talks about it. It's kind of subtle, but it's infinitely monetizable, where you'll be paying for digital clothes that are just a series of zeros and ones. It's not, you know, it's not anything real. It's kind of just in the ether. But as far as the you will own nothing and be happy, it sounds sort of like a threat, doesn't it? You will own nothing and you will be happy.
How about that? Yeah. There is a changing of the guard going on in one of the iconic control oligarchs. George Soros, long been on the political stage all the way back to the beginning of my journalism career in the 80s, handing the reins of his $25 billion charitable empire to his son, Alex. What do we know about Alex and what change in course might we see in the Soros and Open Societies Foundation strategies?
Well, yeah, Alex Soros, I mean, if you thought George Soros was bad, just wait till you see what Alex Soros has in store. He is going to he has taken the reins of the $25 billion philanthropic empire. And if you, you know, George Soros' funding and influencing of elections is kind of one of his primary focuses. Another one is abortion, birth control, billed as maternal health. Alex Soros wants to really increase that funding. Focus on the elections, focus on increasing women's abortions.
Wow.
Seamus, I think that there are a number of ways that freedom-loving individuals can fight back against this. You know, buying your own land, owning your own home, buying a car, preferably one that doesn't have a computer, that doesn't have a kill switch, even though you do have folks like Thomas Massie and AOC teaming up to be against that. That's weird to see. But another way, at least I used to think, was through cryptocurrency, because when cryptocurrency burst on the scene, it kind of seemed like the wild, wild west of currency. Evading, you know, governmental policies and regulation. But it seems like the more and more that government gets involved, the more and more Congress talks about it, and the word crosses their lips, I get more concerned that that's not a way to fight against these control oligarchs. But what are your thoughts on that? Is that a way to kind of be one of the renegades getting away from this type of one world order future for us?
So the book talks about two types of digital currency. They're centralized bank digital currency, CBDCs, mm-hmm. and then there's decentralized digital currency. The one that you don't want is the one where it's is centralized. It remains to be seen if Bitcoin or Ethereum or these other decentralized cryptocurrencies are actually a way out of the CBDC matrix or what, but there is a battle gearing up from the decentralized versus the centralized. And the way to remember it is these characters want to centralize everything. They want to centralize control of the food production, centralize control of the energy production, and they want to centralize control of the currency so that they can track and trace via digital ID and digital currencies.
Seamus, one of the things that this book does so well is that it not only personifies and gives the agendas and the tactics of the control oligarchs, it shows the cumulative impact of their work on freedom. And of course, a control oligarch fears freedom, right? If we're free, they can't control. The reduction in Americans' liberties, whether in speech or in censorship, is so enormous in the last couple of years. You do a great job chronicling it and tracing it back to these control oligarchs. Is American liberty, as we known it, on the precipice of decline?
Yeah, we're on the verge of this. I mean, it's just an epic battle for the, you know, for our freedoms. And whether it's 5 years or 10 years or 3 years away, what we do know is that people like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg, they appreciate the China model of, you know, zero dissent. During COVID, you saw Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates both praising the authoritarian lockdowns of the CCP. You see that they've partnered with China for years. The tech companies have partnered with China for years. Microsoft helping crack down on dissent in China. And they want to import that control over information to the U.S. And we've seen them do it just in the election cycles and during COVID using, disinformation as the tool.
Yeah, right down to closing your church.
Seamus, I think that especially in this current news cycle, it's very easy to tie what we are seeing with globalism to the inception of the internet and social media and modern technology. But I think it goes back further than that. I think that this globalist movement has been percolating for quite a while. When did this all really begin?
It began quite a while ago. I mean, at least in the 1960s is where you had the limits to growth, which is it's a kind of esoteric. You'll have to read about it in the book. But the limits to growth basically said that the Earth is going to end because of overpopulation. That kind of grew into global cooling, eventually into global warming, and eventually arriving now at climate change. And so climate change is a tool of control, just like the overpopulation fear tactics were of the 60s. And they realized that using this threat of some big crises or some real crises, as the pandemic was, they can amass control over various industries. And so the thing to remember is the pandemic equals profit. The lockdowns were lucrative, and the control, that brings a lot of cash to these guys.
Yeah, and it hasn't relented since then. Seamus, we would be remiss not to get your take on all we have learned in the last few months on the Biden family scandal. You and I were lucky enough to write a book together, Fallout. I think we were on the cutting edge of maybe illuminating what sort of a crime operation or certainly a foreign influence peddling operation there was. But now we have all of these things. It's clear that Joe Biden lied his way to the presidency. He did not tell us the truth. But what is your big take, and what do you think the next big revelation is to come when James Comer gets some of these important witnesses on the box, like James Biden or Eric Schwerin or Rob Walker?
Well, as always, John, it's follow the money. And I mean, I think the biggest revelation in the past few months has been these checks, these so-called loan repayments from James Biden paying Joe. I mean, that shows six figures, maybe more, flowing from the recipients of the Chinese Communist Party cash directly into the now president of the United States. It's the largest scandal in American history, as far as I'm concerned. China sending $31 million to the family of the then vice president, now president, and especially with just the state of the world today and how China is aggressive and sending so-called weather balloons over our country. It's the biggest scandal ever, and I guess we'll just see.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. In fact, the Sunday edition. Hey, be sure to go check out factormeals.com, JustNews50. Use the JustNews50 promo code. You're going to get 50% off some of the best healthy, chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, two-minute, undercooked-ready meals. Factor Meals is a big part of my push in 2023 to get healthy. They've made a big difference. I love them. You'll love them. Go check them out today. And you'll love getting 50% off, because you don't get anything 50% off today, right? Factormeals.com/JustNews50. Use the promo code JustNews50. You are in business. All right. That wraps it up, folks, for the week. What a great week. Big scoops from the story about the gallows and the videotape to the Hunter Biden, Kevin Morris relationship, and everything else in between. Some great guests as well. Ron Johnson, James Comer, Glenn Grothman, Ken Paxton, Barry Loudermilk, Ed Martin. Wow, what a week. Abe Hamadeh, Austin Scott, Scott Perry. Oh my God, we had such a great week. I'm so blessed going into Thanksgiving, not only to have Just the News and my Just the News family, to have the great advertisers we have, Factor, EnviroCleanse, Brickhouse Nutrition, which is Field of Greens, Heat Holders, Cardico, Human and Super Beats, Factor, also my good friends, all the people that come on this show, all the great learned people that have a conversation, try to help you and me understand where we're headed in this country. And they were so awesome this week. What a great week of guests. All right, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow with regular programming. Until then, have a great Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Good night. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there.
there. It's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.